Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thanks for being with us again. We have a very, 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 very special guest this evening. Swami Beyondananda, the altered ego of Steve Behrman, who has been one of my comedy and spiritual heroes for a long time now. I actually got to meet him in person a long time ago when he was in my area. And we're both from Brooklyn, so how good is that? So we will be having a very... It's hard to describe what it's like hanging out with Steve. So you will have that experience shortly. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. In thinking about humor and spirituality, which is something that people don't always put together, one of the things about spirituality and religions is they take themselves very seriously. Not realizing that all the symbolism of most religions is about the intersection of the sacred and the profane, the intersection of spirit coming into the world and our experience of the world. So the cross, which is not just a Christian symbol, it's used in Native American and all manner of other indigenous cultures and lots of philosophies. The vertical line is spirit coming into the world, and the horizontal line is that experience of our being in the world. The Jewish star, while it is often thought of as being male and female, the chalice and the blade, and those symbols also are in lots of different traditions, is also, again, one triangle points up towards spirit, the other points down towards the world, and we live at the intersection of the two of them. So our experience is that bringing of the sacred into the world of the profane, the world of the mundane, the world of our experience. And I don't know about you, but if you hang out with other human beings and watch what they're doing, we're pretty funny. We make very little sense most of the time. And any organization or philosophy that takes itself too seriously is sort of missing the point about people. We're here to love each other, take care of each other, and inform each other about what's going to work and what's not going to work. And the whole judgment thing, I don't think that's really what was meant by any of the teachings at all. So I encourage you, as I often do, to look into your own experience, because that is the way of the shaman, in everyday life, moment to moment, looking at your experience, listening to it as a message from all of life, from spirit, from everything that's conscious, and making that a two-way communication. And that two-way communication can be a lot of jokes, slapstick comedy, and pratfalls, because Lord knows that's what our lives are like. So that's today's metaphysical musing, and I think the perfect segue into introducing Steve Behrman, better known as Swami Beyondananda. Are you with us, Swamiji?
Well, I am with you, wherever you are, and I am here. We are virtually together.
How are you, Steve?
Hold on. Who are you talking to? You're talking to Swami or you're talking to Steve? We have to decide. He went to the bathroom, so I'm holding on the fort.
Okay.
So, yes, I am here, and you know what? We have no choice, because no matter where we are always here, right?
That's true.
And it's always now. So would you like to be in the now more? Well,
sure.
It's too late already. It's already then.
That is the dilemma, isn't it?
Okay, but when you are faced with a dilemma, we have the opportunity to make the lemonade.
This is going to be an interesting conversation because I'm going to be laughing most of the time.
And well, I also, that's a good state to be in. Maybe right. I'll laugh for
a change. I also know that no matter what I say, you will have an equally witty and insightful response.
Well, yes, I hope to incite many people tonight.
So is Steve back from the bathroom?
Can we hold on. Hold on. Okay. Yes, I just got back.
Hey, Steve, how you doing tonight?
Thank you, David. I'm doing just fine. And I really love the idea of the stuff that you brought out essentially about sacred cows, because, you know, the Swami, one of his books is called "When You See a Sacred Cow, Milk It for All It's Worth." And when you see the people, we did a show once for Swami Satchitananda. You could see it in the Dalai Lama. You could see it in the Maharishi. All of these individuals had a phenomenal sense of humor, and they were laughing all the time.
Right.
And they were laughing at us.
Well, my observation is you can tell whether somebody has moved along the spiritual path by the fact that they have a little smirk on their face, like they get a joke that you don't get, and they don't talk much, which means I'm only about halfway there.
Ah, okay. So the thing is that language is really cool if you play with it. And that's really one of the things I enjoy, having the Swami as an alter ego, because the Swami makes up new words all the time.
Right.
In response to the campaigning during the Republican debates, he came up with two new words, detestimonials and insinuendos. So I think that language is meant to be stretched and designed, because one of the powers of humor in evolutionary times is to get the two sides of our brain to talk with one another and integrate the wisdom that comes from the linear and the wisdom that comes from the intuitive. And humor is a way of collapsing both of those and knocking us clean out of our heads into our hearts, where we can receive a lot more valuable information.
And, well, you know, it's interesting because I butcher words all the time, intentionally. And, you know, I wish I could find recordings of Dr. Irwin Corey, the great master of completely butchering things for political.
You know, he is actually still alive. He's in his late 90s, I believe.
Oh, my goodness.
Irwin Corey. And, you know, the Swami has used one of the classic Irwin Corey lines. For those who don't know, I mean, nowadays you can learn anything just simply by, you know, going online and Googling it. Google Professor Irwin Corey, and you'll see this guy kind of like an absent-minded professor doing double talk. And somebody once asked him, why is the sky blue? And so he said, "That is such a complicated question. We're going to have to divide it into two questions. The first question, why? The imponderable why." And he goes on and on. He says, "Second question, is the sky blue?" "Yes, it is." And I found that Swami has found that very helpful in answering certain questions that fit that mold, and it always works. And I think there is a tradition of crazy wisdom, wacky wisdom, because in a certain sense, one of the things that the Swami will say from time to time is, "Well, I know what you're thinking. The Swami is proposing the same world. He must be crazy." And that's really the situation that we find ourselves in. And part of the what we're calling an evolutionary upwising, where people are waking up and wising up, is to recognize how many of us actually recognize the insanity and the absurdity.
Right.
And as we begin to tell the truth about that and recognize it, there comes a potential to create a 3.0 version of humanity. But first you have to tell the truth about where you are.
Exactly right. And I wasn't sure that we were actually in version 2.6, but must be in there somewhere.
Well, I think we basically have a Windows version of it. That's the problem. Reality needs to shift to a Mac version. It's just more user-friendly and more creative, and there's no need to be PC, if you know what I mean.
Exactly right. Well, since there are several people who have said they wanted to call in, I'm going to give the call-in number earlier and more frequently than I usually do on the show.
Oh, yeah, Swami's right here, just in case, you know, he's called upon to answer a question.
I'm sure he is, and I would expect nothing less. That number is 248-809-3474, 248-809-3474. Call up, ask the Swami a question, give Steve a hard time, have some fun. So we'll see who shows up.
Yeah, if they don't call in, we'll call out. That's always been my strategy.
Well,
Swami doesn't call us. You know, we do that.
Okay. I know a
random
couple of people. I know a couple of people we could do that with. They would be shocked and amazed. So what's the latest? Obviously, the Republican campaign is incredible comedic fodder and just a deep well of...
I wouldn't exactly call it a well. I would call it a sick. I would call it a sick. I wouldn't call it a well. You know, I just got this is hilarious in a very sad way. You know, the Democratic Party, they're giving out bumper stickers. And you want to know what the best they can do? And I'm not making this up. Ready for the new Democratic Party bumper sticker?
Uh-huh. Yep.
It says, not a Republican. That's their position. So that's how screwed we are. You know, and I mean, people looking at this election coming up, they're faced with the choice, Obama or, oh, bummer.
That's exactly right.
And you know, what's very interesting, and I think really does need to happen, is there's been a missing piece for quite a while, and that missing piece is the heart and soul of We the People. That was the original sovereign for this country, for America, and we've kind of let it go. And so consequently, without having a really central organizing spiritual focus, that not necessarily around religion, but around the virtues and values that non-sociopathic human beings would tend to gather around. But we've been so successfully divided into red and blue tribe that we haven't really been able to gather around the values that 90% of us would agree on. And so that's really what this next movement is about. And Swami, in his State of the Universe address, he said, we need to gather red tribe and blue tribe in one sacred circle and talk until they're purple in the face. Because only as one purple people will the peeps be able to overgrow the perps.
Mm.
Because that's really what it is. You know, there's a very, very wide variety of theories about what's happened until now. And on one end of the extreme are the people who goes, well, you know, we're actually being ruled by a race of reptiles who live underground. And then at the other end of people waking up is, well, you know, I think basically we have a dysfunctional government, and it's up to somebody to do an intervention, you know, like you would, you know, a beloved relative who, you know, has fallen under the influence of something, and they're destroying their lives. And the collusion between government and corporation is destroying not just the life of our country, but the life of our planet. And so the only entity that can do an intervention is the heart and soul of we the people. And so what I believe needs to happen is all throughout the country, people do need to gather inside the container of safe communication across party lines and begin to converse about using the two aspects of progressive and conservative in a constructive way, asking the questions, how do we wish to progress and what would we like to conserve? Mm-hmm. And this, you know, and maybe what we need instead of, you know, while this zoo of an election goes on, maybe we need to have a reality TV show called America's Next President, where we the people actually, through the internet and so on, gather and actually create a job description and begin to interview candidates, not the ones they throw at us, but people, individuals who we think have the integrity to carry out the will of the people, which is to have government of the people, by the people, for the people, where the government does our bidding and not the bidding of the highest bidder.
Exactly.
You know, that's what the Occupy and the Tea Party movements have in common. They both understand that the current party system doesn't work, and that, you know, the Tea Party people are focusing more on the state part of the corporate state. The Occupy people are focusing more on the corporate part, but essentially the corporate state, the two of these working together, has done more damage than either of them could have done alone.
Right. Well, I remember way back in the day, we used to have the word corruption.
Well, you know what the Swami says.
No, but I'm sure I'll find out.
We don't have that word anymore because of something called ethic cleansing. The ethical people have been cleansed.
Yep.
We're saying that there's such a thing as corruption. Yes.
Yeah, and what's going on is exactly the kinds of things that were a very big deal 30, 40 years ago. And would have gotten a lot of attention and would have involved hearings and corruptions, blah, 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 blah. And now it's an everyday occurrence.
Well, it's so business as usual because the power we have allowed, you know, because of the missing moral authority, we've allowed the power of money to become the only power.
Right. Right. I still like the idea of requiring all the members of the government to wear NASCAR uniforms with the patches of the people who have paid them off.
Yeah, I think that would be truth in advertising. That would be a truth in advertising. But an even better thing would be to have nobody paying them off.
Right, exactly. Well, the truth will set you free.
First it will upset you free.
That's
true.
The
truth will upset you free before it sets you free. That is the whole idea.
Or as Gloria Steinem said, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off.
Well, you know, and I think that part of the fear, there's kind of a fear of waking up and looking, poking outside the political matrix, because then the question arises, what do we do about it? You know, if you can easily blame the bad guys, whoever the bad guys are, whether it's the corporation bad guys or big government bad guys, you can always have that villain out there and not really have to make any changes. And you can continue to be right and have nothing at stake. And the political positioning that people have taken until now tends to perpetuate that powerlessness that people are in a position, they're right in their position, when nothing changes unless you move off of a position. So I see there have been some really interesting inroads up in the Northwest, up in Seattle, where libertarians and progressives, progressive Greens, have been exchanging information. And, libertarians have taught the progressives about the Federal Reserve. And the Greens have taught the libertarians about clean food and the community and the environment. So I think we really want to have, I think most people have a heart's desire for functionality. And because of the political system that's designed to shed a lot of heat but not much light, people kind of get pushed into these positions. So I don't imagine that there's a lot of conservatives that are enthusiastic about voting for Mitt Romney. Just like there are a lot of progressives who are wondering, when did it actually occur that Obama was replaced by his stunt double? You know, people are wondering about that. So the thing is that, you know, the unifying, we have a deeply united body politic, and that 98% of Americans agree that it ain't working and that the current system is not really to our benefit. And that's, I think that's a pretty, pretty solid consensus.
Right.
And if we could use that consensus to launch a conversation to call people forward to be more adult in the matter, you know, children of God to adults of God, what would we do instead? What are we willing to take responsibility for? What are we willing to hold our government accountable to? You know, this becomes, I mean, this is an evolutionary moment and not, not at all unlike what happened during the American Revolution. But at this point, this is going to have to be a bloodless revolution, because the authorities have all the guns.
Right.
So they've already said, you know, so a certain sense, if you're fighting at that level, the fight is over. But if we can show that 80 or 90% of Americans are willing to stand for certain rules of transparency and governance, and hold our government accountable to that, in spite of which political party is in power, then all of a sudden that becomes a very big deal. That becomes news.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you, and we've only got a few minutes to the break, so I'll pick up on this after the break. You've been doing the Swami as your alter ego and as your comedic foil in all of this for a very long time. I'm very curious how that all started in the murky, distant past.
Okay, and well, do you want me to start the answer, or do you want me to start the answer after the break?
I'm sure you have a quick version.
At the beginning, I'll tell you, it all began when we were just single-cell organisms. That's how far back it goes. And do you remember that? When I was a single cell, I didn't make a single sale. And so I combined with other organisms, and pretty soon we had the whole idea of reincarnation. So it started way, way, way back then. Of course, that's in the distant background. In the recent background, in 1980, or actually 1979, I was living in Ann Arbor, Michigan, writing a funny paper for my coworkers at the city of Ann Arbor, and this name flew into my head, Swami Beyondananda. And I say I got struck by enlightening during a brainstorm. The name just flew in there, and it made me laugh because all these Anandas had, all these Swamis had Ananda, Muktananda, Yogananda, on and on and on. And so I kind of held that, and I loved the name. And about a year later, a friend and I started one of the first holistic publications in the country, in Pathways Magazine in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we realized...
We're going to have to take the break in a second and hear the rest of the story. Sorry to cut you off. We'll be right back with Swami Beyondananda and Stephen Barron right after a few messages here on Empower Radio with the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Hang in. Come back. It's going to be funny.
The This is the story of a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find which classes he really needed.
You missed the lesson on telling dragons from dragonflies.
Right. I want to go to college, so I'm taking Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language.
Foreign language? You mean so you can talk to unicorns?
Well, not exactly. Unless they're French.
But Larry had no time for unicorns, or even for Miss Petunia Tutti's time-traveling tutorial, which met every other yesterday at 25 o'clock.
Sorry I'm late. My snarkball game went into overtime.
And he knew knowhowtogo.org was way better than hoping for a snarkball scholarship. So, while his friends all aced invisibility, when Larry finally got to college, they were nowhere to be seen.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
The forest is a treasured and magical place.
Hello, Bambi.
Hello, little prince.
Hello. Hello there.
But a wildfire can destroy its beauty for a lifetime. It's always wildfire season somewhere in America. Nearly 9 out of 10 wildfires nationwide are caused by the carelessness of humans and could be prevented. But together, we can make a difference.
Watch what I can do!
Help protect the home of our forest friends.
He can call me a flower if he wants to.
To find out more, log on to SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, the National Association of State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick, that's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy!
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy, the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Shelter Pet Proctor.
And now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Swami Beyondananda and Steve Behrman. First, I'm going to give out that phone number again, 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Call in, ask questions, give us a hard time, have some fun. So, Steve, when last seen, our hero was in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
And we left Gunga and Rama. as you may remember from Andy's game. Anyway, so what happened was a friend and I decided that we were going to start this holistic publication. And we realized, this is, again, 30 years ago, people took their spirituality even more seriously in those days. And we realized that humor was really required. And so I kind of carted out this Swami Beyondananda, and my friend thought that was a hilarious idea. And at the beginning, at the first number of issues, the Swami merely had these they were like little ads. We had an ad for Teach Your Dog to Heal, because dogs are netters. We had an ad for Tantrum Yoga, Use Your Anger to Heat Your Home in the Wintertime. Everything you always wanted to know about sects. The first one we did was on the, it was kind of a spoof of the famous artist school. We're looking for people who want to draw. Mm-hmm. Well, this was famous guru school. We're looking for people who want to draw on higher consciousness. And we had like mock letters, Dear Swami, loves your leadership training, please send followers. And we had really a great time with this. And what we noticed is I would sit in the local health food restaurant and watch people pick up the magazine. they would immediately turn to the inside back cover, which is where the Swami would be, on the left side when you open the last page before the cover. And so our most expensive ad space was on the inside back cover facing the Swami column, because everybody knew that everybody read that column every month. And we'd see it up on people's refrigerators and so on. And it really gave people permission to laugh at spirituality and kind of bring it down to earth. There were two, this is, again, 30 years ago, there were two kind of pathologies that were developing in spirituality. One we could call spiritual narcissism, you know, chanting for a BMW.
Right.
And the other we could call pathological purity, you know, where you have to cleanse yourself, you know, whatever it is, and there's something that's impure about you that you got to get rid of. And, you know, we had both of those extremes. And so the Swami, in fact, there was a lot of focus on prosperity consciousness, and there were also people who wanted to improve their body image. So one of the Swami's first mantras was designed to help people bring more money into their lives and lose weight at the same time. And the mantra was, everything I eat turns to money, and my drawers are full of cash. And there were many people who had great runs of prosperity from that mantra. So at the outset, the Swami was really shining a mirror. He was putting a mirror up against the somewhat immature, sometimes silly, sometimes narcissistic beginnings of spiritual engagement. I mean, you know, this was really at the outset. And then over the years, the message had more to do with the healing power of humor. And finally, in the past decade, given my background in political science, the Swami has naturally gotten much more into the connection between spirituality and politics. And, you know, political science is an interesting thing. I think that we actually need to have more hard science in political science. And so Swami has started to advocate actually dissecting politicians. Oh, my God, look, there's no heart. Oh, no guts. So that would be very revealing to do that.
Well, you certainly have enough candidates in this past GOP run-up to the convention.
Well, listen, you have to give those Republicans credit for, they're very straightforward about being gay backward.
Indeed. And
we call it selfish righteousness. The thin veneer of religion covering a big glob of greed.
Indeed. So it's interesting that the Swami has moved into politics, because that in many ways I think has been the progression of a lot of the master comedians of our time.
You can't help it. It's everywhere.
Right. Thinking of George Carlin, Bill Cosby. And yes, I'm putting you up there with those people. You know that.
Well, I could put up with being put up with them.
at the same time, the core of the Swami's teachings, and what makes everything you do so juicy, is that bringing of spiritual wisdom into comedy, or comedy into the spiritual wisdom, and making people laugh at things that they used to think were incredibly serious.
Well, you know, it just so happens that right now we just did the first week of a 5-week program, which people can still participate in, via the Shift Network, called A Course in Laughter. And in this Course in Laughter, one of the issues that we are addressing is how to use humor as a transformational tool to help more people begin to release the stories that they're telling themselves that are actually taking a lot of energy and wasting a lot of energy, and begin to simply remember that what other people think about us is none of our business, that in the domain of what we're calling cosmic comic consciousness, you're able to see the joke that we are pursuing happiness when happiness is an inside job. And right. Once we begin to recognize that we don't need those things out there that we've been told that we need, and that we don't have to put our heart's desire, our true self outside of ourselves, that we're already there, we can laugh at our more foolish pursuits. And in the wake of that laughter, there's an awakening. There's an aha in the wake of the ha-ha. And that's right. What the spiritual perspective is, because it takes a lot of love to metabolize the kinds of political toxins that are beginning to come to the surface.
Yep. There is an old friend of yours on the line right now from back in Ann Arbor.
Oh, cool.
And I want to introduce Susan from Nashua, who happens to be my girlfriend.
Oh, how cool. Oh, that's wonderful.
And
so it's a family thing.
You there,
family
Susan?
I'm here.
And
hi, Susan.
Hi, Steve. I have a special question for the Swami.
Okay, he's right here.
I've heard it said many times that absolutely nothing is better than heaven. So I want to know, how can I achieve absolutely nothing?
Well, you know, that is one of the great things, that part of enlightenment is emptying yourself out and achieving emptiness. And I've been told so many times, oh, Swami, you are so full of emptiness. So I have developed a whole line of products to help you bring more nothing into your life, because after all, nothing lasts forever, right?
That's
nothing
true.
Is completely safe to eat. Nothing beats sex. And, of course, nothing is made in the U.S. So we have boxes of nothing, absolutely nothing, because there are already people who have plenty of everything, and still nothing will make them happy, so we want to make them happy with a box of nothing. Now, if you don't want to buy nothing by the box, no problem. I have a digital download, Swami's Ultimate Meditation Tape, completely blank. Our slogan is, you ain't heard nothing till you've heard nothing.
I think I'm ready for that tape.
Are you ready for nothing?
I'm ready now, for that tape. Yes, absolutely nothing.
I'll tell you, that creates plenty of spaciousness. So yes, I like that idea. In fact, I'm actually thinking about starting to sell some of these things multi-level. We can call it No Way. And that way I could put myself at the top of the pyramid, because my desire is to live on nothing for the rest of my life.
There you go.
If I could get me, because I tell you, I am down to selling nothing. And if people buy nothing, then I will give them everything. Does that
yes.
make sense?
And then you would be selling nowheres.
Oh, that's right. But nowhere is now here. Nothing is no thing. But nowhere is now here. Yes?
No.
No. Well, that's good. Well, then that's a perfect contradiction. You know, actually, I have a new program called Just Say No to Negativity. Our slogan is positively no negativity.
That's very reminiscent of all the articles I used to read in Pathways magazine.
Oh, you
I think
I
had your whole collection.
Did we know each other back then?
Yes, we did.
Okay, Susan what?
Dude, I'm not sure she wants to give her last name on the air.
Okay, well then, we've got it, Susan X. Or yeah. Maybe it's the same, maybe it's the very, very successful attorney. Her name was Susan Wins.
No, I was never an attorney, though.
Okay, well, I know it feels like an eternity.
It was. I was a teacher back then.
Ah, very good. Well, we'll have to connect offline to find out when our lines connected online.
I think that's a fine idea.
Okay, really good. And nobody will be fined for that idea.
Thank you very much, Swami.
Okay. Namaste.
To you too. Bye. So
you say namasko, okay? Bye.
Namasko.
Okay. Namaste.
Now I go.
Okay. That's good.
Bye.
Bye.
Or as we invented, on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, nerdmaste, the geek in me. Okay. The geek in me acknowledges the geek in you.
Well, beware of geeks bearing grips. That's all I know. Okay.
Exactly right. So if people want to learn more about the Swami and get more of the Swami's wisdom, where do they find that?
Well, they go to wakeuplaughing.com. There's plenty of places to explore. There's a place where you can contact me. You can even get absurdified by the Swami.
Absurdification, that sounds amazing and difficult. What does one have to do to be absurdified?
Well, you know what? I think you pay $10. You pay $10 and then we send you the piece of paper. And the fact that you're willing to pay $10 for this qualifies you to be an absurdified fool.
I understand, and that pretty much sums up the whole thing. Because didn't the Swami at one time say there's a seeker born every minute?
And two to take him along the path. Yes, that's
true.
Two
to take him along the path.
That's right.
As you can tell my first experience of the Swami was, I think, your first tape, which was Yogi from Muskogee.
That's right, Yogi from Muskogee. That was on cassette. That's how long ago
I think I still have the cassette here somewhere.
Well, it's a collector's item.
It is a collector's item.
It's a trash collector's item, but it's still a collector's item.
And it was all just as hysterically funny then as it is now.
Yes, it was absurdified by the American Hysterical Society.
One of the communication channels you don't have that I have is I'm chatting with the engineer, Bob, who's in the studio, and he asks, does that mean you would become an irreverend?
Oh, that's right. I am an irreverend. That's exactly right. That's perfect. That is my designation. I'm an irreverend in a new non-religion called fundamentalism with the accent on the fun. It's strictly non-dominational. You see?
Which we need more of in this world.
That's right. That's right. It's based on the nomad philosophy of non-attachment. I nomad at you, you nomad at me. And then that way we create nomadness on the planet.
So it gives a whole new meaning to a nomadic existence.
That's right. Nomadic. That's right. Because after all, this is part of the deal is that we think that these things that we own, we think that they're important. Actually, all we need to do is to be able to use these things. We don't really need them. Money needs to circulate. Money needs to keep circulating. That is what my pledge is, that people are concerned with the economy. I've got books and CDs for people to buy. And my pledge is that every penny that I take in will be spent in the economy.
Absolutely.
That's my pledge. Of course, go ahead. Yes.
No, I was just wondering what's next for the Swami. What are the two of you cooking up now?
Well, we are on the road as of June 1st. We're going to be at a conference in San Diego. If you go to my website, Wake Up Laughing, you see there's a schedule there. Then we're going to be doing shows in Santa Fe, Austin, Texas, Fairfield, Iowa, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Chicago, and then back up to the Northwest to the Seattle area. We'll also be at the Oregon Country Fair in July. And then we're looking at another East Coast trip. So if you want to hire the Swami to come do a program for your community, just go to Wake Up Laughing and send us a note, and we'll respond.
Terrific. Well, we met quite a while ago in Northampton, Massachusetts.
That was probably 1987 or 88.
It was a while ago.
Back in the old days.
I think I had hair.
You're hairless now. Well, that's all the meditation. You know, that's how it happens. The meditation burns the follicles. It fries the follicles from the inside out. And, you know, that's why the fryer, those guys with bald spots, they're called fryers. Because their hair has been fried from the inside out.
I like that theory much better than some of the other theories of baldness. So I'm going to use that.
That's right. Use it.
You know, one of the things I realized a long time ago is I use so many of your lines that I forget they're yours.
Well, they're meant to be put into circulation.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole idea. Well, you know, it's fine if people give me credit. You know, it's okay if they give me cash. Either way.
Well, we'll see what we can do about generating some cash for you.
Oh, very good. And where are you located?
I'm in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Oh, we were just there last year. I guess I missed you. We did a little show in Amherst. Maybe we'll come back.
Really?
This fall. Yeah.
How could I possibly have missed that?
It was a living room event. It was a small living room event in June. So I don't really know how could I have missed telling you, but the Swami was there, and we had a wonderful time. It's probably the hottest day in Amherst history, and but it was quite fun.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure you were appreciated in this area. Both the spirituality and the humor would be very much appreciated around here.
Absolutely.
And sacred cows make the best hamburger, as Mark Twain would say.
Well, we don't butcher them, we milk them. In fact, I was a sacred cow poke for a long time. As opposed to cow puncher, that is too painful. But poking them, that's okay.
So you have the tour coming up. Are there new things that people can find on the website?
Well, yes, there are. I've put my A Course in Laughter. There's a digital version of A Course in Laughter. There are two ebooks. One ebook is called Wake Up Laughing, An Insider's Guide to the Cosmic Comedy. And the other is something called The Zen Koans of Hari Cohen Baba, which are Swami's Guru's favorite humorous healing and teaching stories. Sort of like Milton Erickson meets Groucho Marx. So if that makes any sense. So that will give people probably 3 or 4 dozen jokes that always work and have a little message attached to them. That's the other part that makes them kind of cool. And then the Wake Up Laughing, An Insider's Guide to the Cosmic Comedy, that's really about the innards of humor and how to use humor to heal the heart and free the mind.
Fantastic.
And then, of course, there is the serious book that I wrote with Bruce Lipton called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future and a Way to Get There from Here. We haven't really talked about that, but that's really I so enjoyed working with Bruce. He's a brilliant cellular biologist. and we applied some of the learnings that he gleaned that are talked about in this book, Biology of Belief. We applied those to our collective beliefs and woven science, spirituality, economics, politics, all into one narrative.
Fantastic. That sounds like a wonderful read. I wish I had known about that. I would have read that before the show, so I'd have more questions about it.
Well, we could probably do this again and talk.
We can do this as many times as you want. It's always great fun to have you on the show
and just connect
with you. So I want to thank both of you, Steve and Swami Beyondananda, for being with us tonight.
Well, glad to be there. And as the Swami would say, thank you, and may the farce be with you.
And with you, the farce. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Good night.
Good night. So you can get more of Steve's materials at wakeuplaughing.com. And obviously, as you can tell, I have great respect for Steve and his alter ego, but I think his message and the way he gives it is extremely powerful, especially for those of us on a spiritual path who can be way too serious. For those of you that would like more information about me, you can find that at househealing.com. And on the contact tab, you can even find a link that will let you make an appointment with me for a little bit of time on the phone so we can talk about what's going on with you and whether my clearing work will be useful to you. If you want to find the archives or listen to this program again at some future date, you can go to thefarkasfiles.com and go directly to the archive, or we are very excited that you can find them on iTunes now by searching for Farkas Files, and you can get them all on any device that has iTunes on it. Next week, my guest will be the wonderful Claudia McNeely from Texas, who, besides all the incredible healing work she does, keeps track of all the changes that are affecting how people feel. So anyone who is spiritually sensitive has been going through a lot of changes lately, and she tracks things like earthquakes and solar flares and has a whole cadre of people that send her messages every day about how they're feeling, how their animals are feeling. And we are going to have a pretty amazing conversation about all the things that are going on the planet. The week after that is the day before my birthday. And I think we may just have a birthday party on the show, and I will give out the phone number all over the place on Facebook and other places and just have people call in and say whatever they want to say as long as it isn't nasty. And guess my age. And no fair if you've known me all your life or you look it up. But guess my age, because I will announce my age on my birthday and see if you're surprised. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. See you next week.